That's no moon.
Hello there, and welcome to That's No Moon, a Star Wars Legion podcast, episode 63 and a bit, because we've had a couple of specials. My name's Cockles. I've returned to take control of the show because Andy just led it into pure and unadulterated chaos previously, but there's some sort of control somewhere in there. Today, it's just myself and Andy, and we're joined by two guests. The two guests I'll come to in a second, but there's only one way to introduce this man. Andy, next time you're hosting the show on your own, see where it says that button, Bluey theme song. It's Andy Terrell, he of That's No Moon podcast. How are you?
But I like it when you have to edit it and have to pull it in manually yourself.
No, this is why I reduce the amount of extra audio I put in the show, because it means I have less work to do. It's all good. How are you?
Good, good. Really excited for this weekend coming.
Do you know what? So am I. It's going to be good fun for everyone involved. For, was it 128 players, I want to say?
112 players.
112 players. Sorry, I was out by a few. All 112 players from all competing nations. Well done on doing the list review show the other day.
Yeah, that was long.
yes, it was.
It was fun. Like, really enjoyed it.
Informative, and you weren't horrible about my list. So I'm definitely, I was like, you actually said it could do well. And I was like, oh, I'm keeping that in my head. Well done. Thank you.
Well, so, if I knew you was actually playing, I should have changed it.
Did you forget?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, dear. Right. The next man I'm going to introduce is a man I met last year at MKGT, now Chopper Base Open. I met him and his son. And he and I have exchanged some lovely, lovely football messages since. And I can't help but put this in because, well, this, of course, is my own way of putting in the fact that my football team beat his football team recently in the Europa League conference. But they did win at Stamford Bridge, which is impressive. So, Severin, welcome to the show.
Hello there.
Welcome.
How are you? Thanks for having me here.
No, thank you for joining us. Thank you for joining us.
He didn't get a choice. No.
Andy coerced you in and said, come on, do it.
No, I meant you, Cockles, don't get a choice on who
sorry, you get me. Yeah, to be fair, I just go, Andy's getting guests. And I go, oh, okay, that's all good. To be fair, it's all good because most of the people I've sort of had conversations with anyway and all this sorts of stuff. Moving on, last guest. Well, Andy confused me before the show, and he's like, oh, he's from Switzerland. No, he's from Sweden. No, he's from Switzerland. No, he's from Sweden. He's definitely from Sweden. So that means he can only have this as an intro. It is Patrick. Patrick is the captain from Sweden. Patrick, I'm not going to pronounce your surname because I'm probably going to do a really bad job of it.
Oh, it's pretty easy. You know, you aim for large S, but you say S instead.
Go on, then. I'm not going to lie. My awful English tongue cannot be doing things like that. That's why I didn't pronounce Severin's surname as well. It's just we can't do things like that. We only speak English, therefore our brains go, can't pronounce other names. That's how it works.
Well, A for effort, anyway.
we've tried before. When I was trying to pronounce Polish names before, on previous shows, when it was like, as in them, and then, no, can't do it. It's just the way our brains are programmed. But thank you, welcome to the show. This week we shall be calling the show Star Wars Legion Eurovision. So come in Poland, come in Sweden. Can you hear me? Good. It's all good. So if those of you don't know, the reason these guys are on is because we'll be talking World Team Championships, because I think that's an event that's coming up really soon. And also, if it's not, I've got my diary wrong. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. First off, though, Big shout out and a big thank you to our patrons and supporters, of which you may help make the podcast possible. And yeah, thank you very much for that. There'll be, if you are watching via the medium of YouTube, at the end, there's always a little thank you page that you're on there. And I need to update it because there's been a couple more of you added to that sort of stuff. So thank you very much for all of your support. Obviously, we are missing Mr. Dyer today, who is on his way back from work. But I'm just going to put something out there. That list that he has made recently that was touched on in the list review is absolutely insane. I'm just, if the six act car, just insane. It shouldn't work, but it works. And that's all I'm going to say on the matter. Moving on to the main topic. Andy, take it away. What's going on? What's going on? How it works.
So you messaged me and was like, Dave Nolan's coming on the show because we're going to talk about World Team Championships. And I said, no. And I've already spoken to him about this and I've told him, I was like, no, I'm not having you on the show, Dave. It's not acceptable. I want to get more. What did he say?
Can we role play this? but Andy, why don't you want me in the show?
I said, as much as I like you, Dave, there's better people out there. And I want to make, like, he always talks about it, and like what WTC, a lot of it is about is growing the community. So I wanted to have people on the show who don't normally get to have their voice heard, which is why, unfortunately, I didn't invite any of the US captains or even reach out to you, because there's a lot of podcasts that are all US focused. And I think a lot of the meta talk tends to be very US focused. And I reached out to a few captains, like Anton from France. He's busy. He's on holiday. A few other people weren't comfortable with coming on the show, which is fine. Like, not everyone's comfortable in front of a camera and microphone. Reached out to Finn. He ignored me. So there's your...
typical Germans.
Obviously, we're not up to his highest expectations. So that's why Finn's not here. And obviously, I tried to reach out to a few others, but the people I did reach out to, and they responded first time as well. Obviously, it's Everin and Patrick for Poland, who has an amazing community. Like...
Hell yeah, yeah, definitely.
I've never heard a bad thing about it, like from anyone who's visited you to anyone who's played with you guys. Like the tournament sizes you get is incredible. So I wanted to hear more about that.
I'm going to put a caveat on that, Andy. The only bad thing I've heard about the Polish players is when they come over to your tournaments and they say, oh yeah, we're going to outdrink you guys, and then don't. I'm talking to you, Mateusz. You know exactly who you are.
That is very true. And then Sweden, you had a really good showing last year. Obviously, I hadn't, before WTC last year, I hadn't heard of you guys with a tournament scene, and you just rocked up with three teams. And you were running crazy stuff, like Quad Mandos before it was cool. And I'm pretty sure you got one of your team members was. I'm hoping I've gotten this right now.
Yeah, Eric.
Yeah. and you guys, I think you performed pretty well as well. Like one of your teams got ranked top four or five, if I remember right-ish. And you just kind of came out of nowhere. So again, I wanted to have you guys back. Well, first time on the show, but to find out more about you guys. So we'll start with you, Patrick. Like, give us a bit of intro, like who you are, where you come from, like what got you into the gym kind of thing.
Let's just talk about the small talk about the community, because it's kind of widespread here in Sweden. We're from northern Sweden, Stockholm. It's kind of in the middle of Sweden, then Gothenburg, and then from southern parts also. So we're pretty spread out. So that kind of describes how we are as persons also. We have different views and different settings to actually think about lists and how we build them. And I think as overall, Sweden is kind of, we're kind of nerdy, to be honest. Many of us play other games like Warhammer, and we play Legion and MCP and Shatterpoint. And at least for me, my main interest is not Legion, just because it's, the community is not big enough, to be honest. Okay. I can't play tournaments every week. As you do in the UK, it seems like.
Yeah.
At least if we check in Longshanks and see how often you actually attend these events. we kind of have like 4 to 5 big tournaments, and big for us is like hopefully more than 10 people. We're not like 40 people like in Poland and such. But, well, yeah. But most of us are, I guess we're 30 to 40 years old, have some kids, and nerdy engineers overall.
Just going to put a big thumbs up on that one. Yes, completely agree.
Have you been playing Legion long? Is it your first war game or?
No, it's not my first one. I've been playing for 3 years, I think.
Nice. So a fairly decent amount of time now. And how did you find the transition into 2.6?
Well, that's kind of a depressing thought, to be honest. I kind of love the game, to be honest. I feel that it's in a much better place. It's more approachable for new players. But the problem is that the community kind of died here in Sweden with the new 2.6. Many left or maybe didn't actually make the transfer. And since also there are no models in stock, at least not here in Sweden, so not new players can't come into the game and actually buy new teams. So it doesn't matter if we actually start up new games at different conventions and such, because they can't start.
No, and I think that's the same for here for sure. Like, you go to most of our stockists and most of them don't have anything in stock. I have started to see like the new stuff hitting the shelves pretty quickly. Hopefully that'll be the same for you guys as well. But I have found that as well, that trying to get new people into it. Someone was asking me the other day, I said, just, I don't want to say this, but don't. come back to me in 1 or 2 months. Like, there's no point me getting you excited, getting you interested into the game, when I can't then take you to the stock on the shelves and go buy this. With the new starter sets hitting in August, like, I'll ramp up my like demo days, and I think that's when it's easier to convince people to play, isn't it? So it's very hard.
I really hope that people here in Sweden actually, well, do the waiting and not like get fed up with it and play Warhammer instead.
They'll play it, realize it's a really bad game, and come back crying.
True.
It's a famous,
moments, though, I would say.
If anyone's ever had a pint of Guinness, just good things come to those who wait. Think of that. Pint of Guinness is like Legion. Just good things come to those who wait. That's how it works. what I quite like is that you've also said that the Swedish community is not as big as maybe, say, the Polish and the UK or the Germans, that sort of thing. But what I do quite like is the fact that you still managed, was it three teams you brought last year?
Yep.
And this year.
That's like, that's still brilliant. That's awesome. So that's, but
their
that's
part. Names are lovely. The names of the teams, masterpiece. I mean, you know, I sometimes open Longshanks on the scroll and I see, wow, it's good. It's good. I mean, it's really
have you
nice.
Got, have you got the right way around this time, though?
How do you mean right, wrong way around?
Because last year, wasn't it, you had the names of like Swee 3PO, but that wasn't Team 3. That was like Team 2 or something, wasn't it? To really confuse us.
Confused everybody there.
But I mean, I guess it's a Swedish tradition to have this kind of wordplay, play of words. We were kind of trying to make this work for a couple of weeks, and we had different names and different themes and everything, but then we settled on this one because it was pretty nice.
Now, it's the best ones.
Well, I was going to say, I'm familiar with Swedish wordplay and slightly different things in the IKEA instructions. It just doesn't work.
That's picture play. yeah, because I mean, like, the other team names you've got on there, like, you've got England's divide themselves into North, South, All-Stars and True North.
Whoever gave them All-Stars name just needs to just have a reality check. Because where did the All-Stars team place last year?
Not very high. I'll pull up the article in a minute.
Exactly
and find,
what I mean.
I mean, there is a part of me which does want them to rank really low below the other three teams, and just because they've called themselves the All-Stars.
That's called Schadenfreude, my friend.
USA obviously have gone tried and tested and nice and boring with red, white, and blue. Wales have tried to. They've got Team Crate for Team 2, they've got Team Wookiee, and then Rebel Taffies.
Rebel Taffies. I like, actually, do you know what? Crate is interesting, because obviously, what's the big thing on a world flag? A dragon. Great dragon.
All right, so well done, Jose, for at least getting some patriotic Star Wars reference in there.
Jose, the most Welsh name you'll hear.
Yeah. He's even got an English man on the team as well.
I heard they have boot camp in Spain also.
He's Spain's got a really good Legion scene. Just not seen it outside of it. Like, many players leave the country to travel internationally.
And yet last year didn't come to WTC?
My understanding for that was they had their own GT on at the same time.
Oh, well, that would do it. Yep, that would.
So it was like, do we go to a two-day team tournament or a two-day like singles world qualifier at the time? So, which then leads on to like the boring teams. You've got France, Denmark. They've just called themselves France and Denmark.
Yet again, straight out of the bat, you're insulting France first.
Well, I had to keep the consistency, right? Yeah, but it also means I can lead on to moaning about Poland. They've come up with no fun names. Yeah.
No, we're deadly serious about international competition. No jokes outside of Poland, right?
Yeah. So, Severin, obviously, tell us a bit about yourself. And your family.
At least part of my family. I mean, so Franek, my son, which I'm extremely proud of because he plays Legion. He will attend as a member of Team Poland to the forthcoming forthcoming championship. So I'm extremely proud of him because he can compete and speak English on level, I hope, sufficient, which he proved last year. And well, thanks for very kind mentioning him in one of the episodes of the podcast. He's extremely proud of that. So, like, my whole family is probably like now, you know, playing that that episode because I'm extremely proud of that. It was mentioned personally. So yeah, I'm an academic teacher. I'm really very new into wargaming at all. To be honest, okay. I must say that I consider that a bit nerdish for a majority of my life, since my younger brother was always playing that. So I was mocking him because he was like, you know, painting dwarves and stuff like that, because he was he's a Warhammer, mainly Warhammer player. And my son, since he's like 6 or 5, he's completely in love with Star Wars. So this is how it all began. So one day my younger brother called me and said, well, have you heard that there's a game, a table game, a minifig game about Star Wars? Leave it. Don't tell me that. I mean, don't tell me that. I don't want to hear that. I said, no, there's a very nice guy who's basically running the community in Poland. And he's making like, you know, exhibitions of shows the rules, how to play, so the intros. So maybe you would like to join. All right, why not? So we bought a starter. I think, all right, starter is going to be enough. So it wasn't enough, right? So we are like now loaded with figs in Franek's room. So we started to play 2 years back, and we are really into it. I mean, Franek loves it, and it's a great way of spending time with your own kid, to be honest. I mean, you know, in these days, it drags you out from the screen. Successfully. All right. So you make the lineups in the app, like you watch, you hear podcasts, you watch YouTube movies. But then when you go for the tournament, so you play for like 8-9 hours with another human being on the other side of the table, basically without a screen, which is like, it's really a challenge right now, to, you know, get kids out from the computer, PlayStation and stuff like that. So this is how we entered Legion. I think it was one of the best decisions in recent years, because the best thing is that you meet fantastic people across the table. This is the best part of going to tournaments in Poland, abroad. The competition in Milton Keynes that Kokos mentioned. So it was the first one we attended abroad, and it was a spectacular event, I need to be honest. And I mean, we really appreciated it, and it was like quite an experience. So we can't wait. We can wait for the forthcoming group and for the new group team championship. Sorry, and for the tournament in Peterborough. So it's like traveling. You know, there's a saying that you know, sometimes the journey itself is the aim, is the target, right? So I think this is about playing Legion. So yeah, we enjoyed it a lot. And the Polish scene, let's say, of Legion is very interesting because when you look at on Longshanks, it looks like we have big tournaments. They are pretty frequently every second month we have like a big tournament. There's a series of tournaments which is called Galaxy on Fire. And it's like a sixth season right now being on. But to be honest, we discussed that pretty frequently with Michał Kaliński. So Michał Kaliński is a mastermind behind that. I mean, we try to help him follow his vision, but he's the mastermind behind the tournament. I think he's the biggest, let's say, coordinator of the community in Poland right now. I think we are in crisis. I mean, as a community, we are in crisis because the number of people who are attending the tournaments varies from 40, let's say, to 55, something like that. It used to be 60, 70 year ago or year and a half. So I think a lot of people, just as Patrick said, a lot of people did not follow 2.6. So they were participating. I can give you names since we analyzed those lists, right? So we have names of people who, for some reason, didn't get back or didn't rejoin the game, let's say, after its transition to 2.6. And it is a challenge. And the new cards and the new like rules last week and right now the release of completely new cards, I think this is also a problem. And lack of stock in shops, especially in terms of units like commandos, GR commandos. So it's hard. I mean, there are some new people replacing them. You definitely know we're in a very specific geopolitical situation since 2022, right? And Russian aggression on Ukraine. So we have Ukrainian players. I mean, there are some people right now entering the community playing with us, which is very nice, very good. And we try to support and enhance them to play. But, I mean, the total number of players is, on one hand, it's declining in terms of, number of attendees at the tournaments. This year, we have launched a national league. So, all of those tournaments, big or small, you have to have more than six people. I mean, six people is the criteria. If you have six people, then this tournament qualifies to the national league, and all the points are accumulated, are counted together in one big competition. We have a very sophisticated Excel that I've drafted up to show off a bit, and like it counts points. So we have right now, we're in May, so we have 77 people on the list. So 77 people has already participated at least one tournament in Poland with at least six participants.
Nice. When do you start that from? Like, is it January?
From January. So okay. for the first edition, we started in January. It would be like 2025. Yeah. There are some, of course, sophisticated rules, so it prevents people who frequently travel to tournaments, to make more points than the rest. So it's your six best tournaments. Six best tournaments count after all. So they create your score. We have some additional competitions. We are like Leader Hunter. We have this is a brand new competition. So in each tournament, we count who killed how many commanders and operatives. So if you kill, heroes, important figures, you get points, and then we calculate it on the scale of one tournament and all the series of tournaments. So those who technically don't have a chance to win a tournament, they still can win by winning those, commanders, operatives, and stuff like that. So
like a bonus point system, that sort of thing.
Yes. I mean, it doesn't count in the general, let's say, league table, but it's like a side event, you may say.
Yeah,
nice idea.
It might be stealing that.
Andy's brain's going, yes. So first off, we'll pick up on something. So what you're saying is your man, Mikhail, is the Polish version of Andy. Is that correct? Except he probably doesn't eat dogs.
He's a bit nicer, but
Mikhail's a bit nicer or Andy's a bit nicer?
I have some problems with him. I'm joking. Mikhail is a very good player himself. So he played Worlds once or twice. He's a very good player himself.
He's not Andy because if he's a very good player, that's fine.
I've never played with Andy, to be honest, but I've never won with Kalis. I mean, so he always he's like my nemesis. Getting back to me, as a bad, very tough opponent. But yeah, I mean, he's the mastermind behind the most growing, the key event, right? The key event, and he also organizes with a little help of all of us. He also organizes the grand tournament in Warsaw. So we have the date. It will be in October 11th, 12th. We have 96 spots this year at the tournament. So it's quite big. It was 78 people last year when we organized it for the first time. So, but yeah, Michał is definitely the man in charge. We just try not to disturb his workflow too much.
Do you have someone in Sweden, Patrick, who kind of runs everything, or is it because you're too spread out, you kind of have a couple of people?
Well, we have some people that organize in Stockholm, and that's probably the biggest community. The problem is that they're, kind of generations taking over and life in general actually changing for people. They maybe don't have as much time to actually build up the community. But we're hoping, actually dreaming for having our own GT here in Sweden. But it's just me.
If AMG are listening, then let's get more countries with more GTs. if I had a sway, I'd definitely try and get that to happen, but unfortunately I have no sway.
I disagree. I think you have a little bit of a sway there, my friend.
If I do, it's not one I know of.
No, whatever is that. It's probably an unused, as it says, a cargo, unused big sway, probably. There we go.
But to be honest, I think we have a lot to do in the local communities and just local clubs, just to having a day off, well, days during the week that I actually can play Legion. Because nowadays it's only these 5-7 tournaments a year. That's the only place you can actually play, at least for me. And we need more people to be engaged and be active. And I probably think that we can learn more about our neighbors. I mean, Denmark has more players because they have their own GT.
Yeah.
I think attending more there and maybe learn from how they do their events. But there are some kind of, I wouldn't say political parts, but they have bigger areas to have or have these events at. Restaurants and supporting it. Supporting events. But it's strange. We're split up, and I think in the near future we have to organize ourselves more central.
I mean, that's also partly why I wanted to have this as a focus on the community and the different groups. Obviously, I sit on every podcast and I'll talk about the events I'm running and how I do things, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's the right way of doing it. And obviously, I've just heard about, obviously, a cool league that's nationalized where, yeah, if you're like Cockles and you're never going to win the thing, then you can you can at least aim to try and win a prize by killing the most commanders or operatives. You like, this game's lost, but as long as I kill Vader, that's one more on that commander tick kind of thing that I can do to win later in the, like, win a prize.
I actually really like that, because if you rock up, you get your tier one players who rock up at tournaments all the time, and then it means you've got, so you go, okay, probably not going to beat them, I might do, but at least I can go for this because of this. I really like that.
Yeah, I guess it also means it's a nice idea, like, the more I think about it, because if you're in the trenches and you've been knocked out of the run to win that tournament, and you're like, well, okay, I only came here to win for whatever reason. Now I'm 2-2. I've got no chance of doing anything. I just want to stay positive if I can. I've got two more games left. But what I can do is I can just focus on killing commanders. Like, it gives you this kind of little switch mentality. And that means you go from being mega serious when you're trying to go undefeated. And as soon as you lose that game, you go, right, let's just have loads of fun. Let's just go and kill as many commanders as I can. And it just gives you that idea of, it's similar to, obviously, when I run Chopper Base, we have the bounty board, isn't it? Like, the whole idea and the excitement of that is, yes, I'm losing. All right, I got tabled. Cool. I've won a promo prize, though. Like, there's a positive spin to it. And I mean, I didn't come up with the idea of the bounty board. I stole it from, I believe, the 5280 did a similar thing in their region, over in the US. And I was like, that's a really cool idea. I'm going to steal it and ran it at my events. And everyone's commented, that's really amazing. And like, people go, oh, did you come up with it? I'm like, no, I've just borrowed it from someone else in the community. So, like,
you totally could have said yes and go away with it, by the way.
No, again, it's about shouting out the communities. Everyone's done something right. I'm sure even the French have done something right at some point. I love it and jest with Anton and the entire French community now.
Don't make me bring up Waterloo.
Is that being sung by ABBA as well?
If you say so.
Maybe.
Definitely.
That's your karaoke song right there.
Oh,
Waterloo.
There's a challenge. Now, here's one for you then, Andy. Right, so we obviously know WTC's it going on. So can you give us a breakdown of, because we'll say breakdown of how, have you got a breakdown of the pairings? We can do the initial round one pairings because they've been done. And then I have a follow-up question for you. So
yes.
I love your clicky keyboard.
Can I just comment on the pairings on the WTC?
Go for it. I find it
strange that somehow the first 8 balls that are pulled from a bag, 3 are Swedish. That's statistically, it's as an engineer, it's
it's very, very low.
It's odds, very unlikely. Right? Yeah,
we play Sweden. Sweden won in first match. Yeah.
That's not me though, so I'm not nervous.
There's a link for it somewhere, isn't there?
IGE somewhere.
I was trying to find it on their website. I've got pictures of it somewhere. Give us a second and I can put it up.
Well, why are you finding that?
I was going to say, I can talk in gibberish. There we go. So the format is, which is something very unique and different. It's teams of four, and you submit five lists. All five lists have been made public, and you've got 2 weeks to basically sit there, analyze, listen to our recording from last week, if you wish, kind of look at who you've been paired against, because the pairing for round one is public 2 weeks in advance. You can spend 2 weeks practicing against them lists if you really want to be. I'd love to do a poll to see how many people care or actually do that, because I imagine it's a very, very small minority who do that. But it's a fun little concept that's different. Obviously, you've got five lists, but there's only four players, so one of them lists is a fake. It's four of them lists are actually only going to be used. The fifth one is just there to throw you off and make you think, oh, that's a really scary list, and turns out they're not even running it. On the day, the tables are, so we have, there's what, 28 teams, so half of that's 14 tables. Each table layout, or 14 sets of tables is the better way of describing
14
it.
14 times four tables, yeah.
Yeah. And each of them sets of tables are carbon copies. So when you're playing on Hoff, you've got four sets of Hoff that are all identical. So you can't complain that, oh, I got chucked on the really open table. No, all four of you have got open tables if it's an open table, you know.
But you still can't complain, to be honest.
Oh, you can still complain. Yeah.
Check it. We will.
I can say this as well. We will.
Polish players.
you can complain as much as you like. Parts of it, obviously, I'll put my small disclaimer out now, are not true representations of a European or a US table. Because of the duplication of the tables, it can lead to a table being more dense and one table being really light and open. I do remember the Hoff table last year being absolutely awful to play on. And, the feedback was taken on board. I've given it to Dave, who manufactures and makes all these tables himself. And I mean, one man band makes it himself, prints it, paints it, makes it. He's obviously tried to make more, and we're pad the tables out from last year that were negative feedback. And then obviously we've had to increase from 8 tables to 14. So he's nearly having to double it this year, which is crazy. When you turn up to the table, our captains, so you two are obviously paired, you'll pick two of your lists that you wish to have priority on pairing. It's not priority, you do have pairings on them, and you'll pick the other two you don't care about, the ones you're throwing under the bus. Your opponent will do the same, and it's all face down, so you can't see, and then say it doesn't really matter who does it first, but you'll go, I'm going to do my pairings first. You flip your pair that you care about and your opponent's pair that they don't care about, and you get to do the matchup. So there's two pairings done. You've got to make two choices. And then your opponent will do the same, flip over the remaining lists and go, well, I'm going to pair this against this, and gives you that choice. And then you pick a table, doesn't matter because we're all the same. And then you play your game as normal. And that's it. Like, the team element is that side of things. Last year, we had captains v captains as a mandatory choice. And the captain's game result was the tiebreaker. So if it was 2-2, the captain's game gave you the win for a 3-2 win, essentially. Did it as first year. It was okay. It worked. It wasn't great, but we changed it this year. So everyone's game is equal weighting. It means the captain can play anyone. There's no captain v captain. It's just whatever the pairings come out as, that's who you play. And we can have draws as a team. So if you win 2 and your opponent wins 2, cool. You've scored 1 tournament point each. And then the tiebreaker after tournament points is MOV. So it's the number of victory points that your team has scored. Or at least that's how the It should be on Longshanks. We'll find out on the day, that's for sure.
Yeah, make sure you click the right button. I've foul of that before.
Yeah, I mean...
That sounds very good. When we were analyzing that on our side, that sounds very good, because even when you really are thrown under the bus, and the situation may happen, right? So you get to play Tempest without any single impact. You don't have too many chances to win, but then even if you score one victory point, it may be a decisive for the whole match. So still you chase. I think it's. I haven't been there last year, but I think this changes for the good. Of the gameplay, right?
Yeah, and that's it. So even like you go, I can't win this no matter what. The team have said, if you win this, amazing. If not, just score as many VPs as you can, because that's the tiebreaker on the league table, you know. So if you've got someone who's 4-4 and you've got 4 points as well, and you've scored 50 victory points, they've only scored 12, there's your tiebreaker. And you know, as you say, that one victory point that you scored against Tempest was the one that helped you win. You lost the game, but you're ranked higher because of that. So
lost
it gives
the game,
you a nice...
win the war.
Yeah,
take as many of them with you. You go down, you need to take as many of them.
Yeah, so each year, obviously, I'm taking feedback. I've already got some ideas for next year for list building, and that's the other thing I should mention about list building. Everything's unique across it. So if your Rebel player is running Bad Batch, your Clone player can't run Bad Batch. So there's a small list restrictions. And it encourages creativity, I think.
By the way, I'm not dissing that. I hate that the Rebel players are taking the Bad Batch, and that some Republic players are lacking in Bad Batch.
Well, if you go and tune into last week's episode, what tends to happen is the Rebel player takes Bad Batch, the Clone player goes 501st.
I can't think why.
Yeah, there was a strong correlation if you took Bad Batch or not as a Clone player, if you were running 501st or not, I found. It adds to list creativity, and the five lists, again, I don't think I mentioned it, but one has to be from each faction, and Shadow Collective does count as a faction for this. So it makes for a bit of excitement, and it does mean there's a bit of a random meta, because there's equal quantities of factions to start with. Might be swayed a little bit, but because obviously one list is getting dropped per a country. But yeah, it will make it interesting. I do have the pairings.
Would you like to share them in the thing? I can read them out for you in the style of the BBC football style thing. So you can remain ever neutral for yourself, mate. That's it.
Now I've got to log on.
But tell you what, while you're finding things, I'm actually going to take a moment.
I've got it on my phone, that was it.
While you're finding that, I'm just going to take a brief moment. I have neglected to mention this right at the top of the show, and I thought I'd just bring it in now while there's a natural pause. Obviously, as this is more of a UK thing, but it's sort of thing, but some people we know around the world. Obviously, in the UK, Star Wars Legion, we lost our good friend Paul Buller not too long ago. But there is a raffle for his to win his Wales, his WTC top and other things as well. There will be a description and a link of the show for you to enter. There's 5 days left as of the time of recording. So today's Tuesday, so you've got until Sunday, I think that means. So please have a look at the link in the description of the show and enter, because all proceeds go towards a charity of Paul's family's choice. I thought I'd just take that moment to advertise that while we're here. And now Andy has found everything he needs to find.
Oh, I can't send you a link. It's just an image from the chat I've had with Dave, Mr. Nolan. So I'll read it out for you.
Yeah, do it. You've got to do BBC style, mate. Go on.
So USA 1 is versus Poland 1. So that's like Oscar's team, isn't it? Poland 1.
Exactly.
And USA 1 is like, I think that's the Tryhards.
Oh, hang on. What I'll do is I'll get that up on the Discord while you do this.
That's Austin, Isaiah, and Wes, and Mowgli. That's a real strong, like, both teams are like, that's going to be interesting to watch. Might even pull it on stream first. And then you've got Sweden 1 versus Poland 2. So there is a nice little...
it's Gabriel, though. I'm Sweden 2.
You're Sweden 2, right.
Yep.
Andy.
All right. Switzerland 3 versus Sweden 3. So there's two of your Swedens.
Confusing for cockles. Confusing.
Sweden, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Don't stream that match.
No, no. We've then got Switzerland 2 versus USA 3. And then Netherlands 2 versus Sweden 2. France 1 versus Netherlands 1. England 2 versus Wales 1. So there's a little home competition going on there. And then we've got France 2 versus USA 2. Wales 2 versus Scotland. So some more Six Nations, essentially.
England, you did a sports reference. My God.
I do sports.
Well done.
England 3 versus Germany 1.
Yeah, I'm not happy about that pairing, mate. Not happy about that at all.
Oh, is that your team?
Yeah.
Oh, you got Finn.
That team, I can tell you, because I had a conversation with Finn, because I was like, are you in Germany 1 by any chance? And he was like, yes. And I was like, oh, this
yes,
is
really smashing. Did he say yes? Or did he say yeah?
Yeah, he said, I'll do my Finn accent. Hey. Richard, Lucas, Andreas, and myself. And that was my Finn impression. No, so it's Richard, Lucas, Andreas, and Finn against myself, Jake, Chris, and Kev. That pairing's going to be horrible, but that's fun. It's fine.
Yeah,
it's fine. It's fine.
How many games will you win, Cockles?
Me?
Yeah, we're having a betting pool here. I mean, in Sweden.
Right, okay, so
we can all get in on this.
Right, so of the six games over the tournament, how much? So just what do you think? So six games. I'm going to. Andy thinks I'm going zero. Okay,
but Andy's not Swedish.
he have little faith.
I have very little faith in you, and yeah, you know that.
It's fine. I'm a member of the 66er. I'm a member of the 66% club, so I tend to go. I'll probably be 4-2. That's probably what I'll do.
4-2. Cool.
Paris Barber.
Cool.
That's, yeah.
That's a bold statement, Cotton.
See if I can live up to it.
Yeah, that's it. And if you don't, we get to shave an eyebrow. Is this the podcast tradition?
No, because I'm not Ollie and I'm not stupid like that. Drinking vinegar is one, maybe. I don't know. But no.
Yeah, you can do a shot of vinegar.
Yeah. Yeah, so no, anyway, yeah, so I'm representing the south of the English today with that. I would just like to point out a little funny little thing. Team South, captained by a bloke who lives in the Netherlands. Dude, I do quite like that.
He's from the south originally, though, right?
But I think Warwickshire, I don't know how far south it is in comparison to some of the guys who are playing in Team North. I don't know if there's not a lot in it in terms of latitude. But
I think the highest north player is like, or sorry, the lowest north player is probably Sheffield, right?
Yeah, no.
Because Liam's from Sheffield. Oh, Nav's Nottingham, which is slightly lower.
Nav's Nottingham, which is definitely, I feel like that's definitely lower. But I mean, well,
Anyway. I mean, it's just fun names, really, isn't it? Just for a bit of
100% agree.
And this is another thing, like, it's great internal banter.
It is.
Like, it between, like, not just between the countries, obviously, yeah, I rank higher than you, like, we're doing better than you. Fantastic. But it's also, like, we've been ribbing each other last month and a bit, like, tryhards are going to do better than Team North, etc. And then obviously there's the True North, because we've got two northern teams.
True North.
That's so interesting, because we're discussing we Sweden are against everyone else. We're not having a banter between each other.
So
we're kind of discussing, is like, oh, Cockles list, it sucks, right? Or yeah sure. How do we win against this? No. No, sorry. But I mean, we're checking through every strategy that we should use through for all the lists, and then we discuss them together, and it's like, how do you handle this? Oh, you have this type of list, and yeah, we're having type of discussions.
I like that.
We'll circle back to that in a second. We'll finish the pairings and we'll circle back to that discussion in a second, so go on. Yep.
So the last ones are Switzerland 1 versus Denmark 2, Wales 3 versus Germany 2, France 3 versus England 4, and then Denmark 1 versus England 1.
Okay,
that's all of the pairings.
So that's all the pairings. Now we'll circle back. I just wanted to finish off the pairings. So I knew there's one left. So in your inter-team, you're talking as one Swedish collective about, or you think, or are you talking in amongst?
Are you asking me or is it Severin?
Okay. No, this is in Swedish stuff first, because we should go back to what you were saying.
Sure. Well, we have a Discord group and everyone talks together. I mean, depending on what list and what type of faction they have and what they are meeting up, we're discussing as a group, how do we handle this? Because, I mean, sure, we have the first pairing, but equally, we would probably play against all the other lists somehow during the competitions. And somehow, we're trying to learn together how to grasp different concepts and strategies, I guess.
I think that's so much better.
Because, I mean, there are different types of players that has won many occasions in UK and such, and it's pretty obvious what they are playing, what are making them good, how do we counter this, and what am I good at playing, to be honest. And sure, maybe I have a, well, I'm not saying what I'm having, but maybe I have a melee list, or and you have a range list, and how do you handle that in different situations, and what should I do if I meet your list? We're kind of open with this discussions.
So you're kind of like bringing the whole country up as a group.
Yes. And Sweden is winning, not Sweden 2.
Yes.
Yeah, we've not been doing that in the UK at all.
No, we don't have that in Poland either. That's a strange concept.
So in Poland, you're just like, yeah, team one, team two.
No. I'm a bit joking, but we've made a very simple split. So those who possibly can try to win something go to Team Poland 1. And those who are going to have fun go to Team Poland B. We're calling it earning experience. We go to earn some experience. A very sophisticated way for losing everything you can, basically. But we have two youngsters on the team. Like Franek is the youngest. We have another Franek who's 14 or 15. And the fourth player in Team Poland 2 is Michał Kosti. So he attended Worlds. He's a very good player, but actually he was a replacement for someone who initially was to be in team Poland 2. So yeah, I mean, Team Poland 1 is much stronger. By the way, we're going to play the last exhibition before going to UK on Friday. So we're going to play Poland 1 versus Poland 2. So I would be really surprised if anyone, maybe, but that because of that pairing mechanism that you described, right? So maybe, you know, some very unfitting list will find some very unfitting list on the other side. But I think if you make a regular match between any member of Team Poland 1 versus Team Poland 2, so probably would be won by the member of Team Poland 1. So this, like, the Team Poland 1 is much better, in my opinion.
So this leads to an interesting debate, and I know I'm very much sure this has been going on in other little chats. So in the South chat, we've been chatting about, like, how are you, Kev, our captain, how is he going to decide what ones he keeps hold of as his two, and how is he going to decide what ones? Is it going to be a case of, right, we're playing Germany, are we going to keep what might be the two weakest lists because of meta, and held them back so we can pick what they go into? Or are we going to go, no, we'll take our strong ones and then we can pick to what we can smash into that way? That's the debate going on at the moment. So which is the better method? So I'm not...
So interesting, to be honest. I want to lean in here because everyone going into this event is thinking, I need my strong individual list. But come on, this is not a single event. This is a team event. Why I kind of was... I wouldn't say annoyed, but the rules for the pairings were kind of late published, depending on building the lists. Because we were discussing in our communities, like, we probably wanted to skew lists, really skew lists. Because depending on that, we probably could have better matchups against a mixed team. Because if you look at least the famous teams, I would say the UK teams are pretty famous. Yeah. They have their individual pairing best lists. So we kind of know what they are bringing to the table, and doing a very skew list, that would be a better pairing for us, I would say.
I'll apologize on the late delivery of the rules update, because that was all on me. If there is someone out there who can come up with, and I'm really keen on this, by the way, if someone's got a good way of doing it, because the original idea I came up with, which kind of lent more towards you having skew lists, but the issue was it kind of ended up being one-sided on one team got more pairings than the other team. So like the original conception I had was, like, you had a red and blue team, blue does a pairing, red does like two pairings, which actually means they're doing three pairings because they get the last pairing by default because they're forcing it out. And I sat there for weeks. I discussed it with a few other players. And I could never with the problem was it was four players. With four players, it's a bit weird. You always end up with one team having more than the other. And because there's no bids, it doesn't lean into a way for your team to give you that favor. It's just.
But I mean, I think you have. It's a great system now, to be honest. But next year, if you want the AMG community or the game to grow, have five lists. Force them to have all five factions, because then we have also a balancing system, and we see which faction will be dominant. And
the it theory
would be great data I mean,
I'll
for
give,
everyone.
I'll give the spoiler now. The theory for next year is you bring all five lists. So you submit five lists, you bring all five lists, and all five lists have to be played over the weekend.
Ooh, okay.
The other cool thing I'm going to hopefully try as well at the same time is you are not locking the player to the list. So just because you've submitted Empire does not mean Dave Grant is going to be running Empire for six games.
Dave doesn't play Empire. What are you saying?
Because it opens up that little bit more randomness, a bit more. So you guys, between your four team players, you bring all five lists, you pack the five lists up between the four of you, and then you just have lots of fun. So if you were just like, oh, I want two games of Rebels and two games of Droids, you can. That's what I'm potentially looking at for next year. Obviously, I was going to get a bit of feedback on everyone over the weekend, see what people's feedback on that is. Feel free to message us and let us know.
I've got a little suggestion.
We're going to complain just in case.
Oh, yeah.
What he said.
I've got a suggestion for you, Andy. Just popped into my head. Why not have, over the set six games, you have a set amount of, I don't know, say 20 points, and you can, at the beginning of each matchup.
Oh, side
no,
upgrade.
No, well, sort of, no, no, no. 20, point, no, 20 points is in your team has 20, and you can... Or 20 credits, and you can use that to be your bid. So you can say, with this matchup, I definitely want to be able to control my pairings. I'm going to put in, say, 8 credits, and the other team can put in, I reckon I'll put 6 in. And you have like a blind bid to see. But then obviously that only lasts. So you can overbid on certain, you can underbid on other lists. That's just an interesting concept.
The current system seems, to me at least, it seems plain and simple. So yes, you know, like the flow is simple. So I do believe it will not take that long. I mean, beside the consideration which list you would like to attach to which one of your opponents in that team. But basically, it's simple. It's probably fast. And I mean, I've never been at the team event, right? So this is the first team event I'm going to attend. But it sounds really exciting. And I think that the trick may be sometimes in picking, like, fooling your opponents which list is going to be in your control pool, right? Because like I think the natural first attempt is to put in your control pool your, let's say, better list or more universal. Right? Because I think it's about being universal, right? So you have that kind of list. You get a lot of armor in your opponent lineup. Right, so you can cope with that. You get a mini list, you can cope with that. I think droids are very universal. They can play against very different lists, right?
That's the thing, right? So like droids, not all of them are going to be the Dooku Aquas and the EXD droids are the two sort of the superstar lists in terms of quite powerful at the moment, right? Okay, so the question is, do you use them to keep them in your pile so you can go right? I know I'm, and then you can control where they go. Meaning,
I don't know.
With a worry. No, but here's the worry. That you control where they go so that you know you're not going to, that your opponent won't pair them into anti-armor, irony type thing. Or do you just go, I think you've got it, you've got do your thing. So you're gambling on what your opponent will put in and what you're putting in. And you're
this
then thinking,
is the
well,
chaos and fun.
I'm not saying anything now.
I know, that's the
thing. You're asking two captains to reveal their plans.
I'm just saying things that are wrong, you know, to fool the opponent. No, but no, to be honest, I mean, well... If the assumption is right that generally the captains will like to keep their better list, more universal list in the control pool, so the captain who decides to make it otherwise, right? So then you gamble a lot, right? Because then you have like two worthless versus playing against each other, right? And the score is really an open case, right? So I expect that there are going to be a lot of funny matches, like, you know, Shadow versus Shadow or Shadow versus Empire. Those lists that probably will not be in the control pool. It's extremely interesting. I mean, I'm really waiting for that to see what's going to be the master strategy throughout the whole tournament, and well, the teams and the captains, they will probably adapt to what they see in round one, round two. Yeah, and this sounds really really exciting. I mean, it's going to be a total chaos, I think. I love it.
I think you said it right there. It's going to be like its own little meta that's going to evolve over the weekend. Oh, we got really bad. That was a really bad choice round one, like the way we did that pairing. And then you go, right, let's try this in round two. And then you go, oh, that was better, but not perfect. And then you're just going to constantly improve on it. And it's something that you just don't get to do normally. So,
yep. And the system forces you to fight even in the match, which is basically lost at the very beginning. Sometimes you can say that you lost before the match started, right? Because you don't have a statistical chance to beat the opponent, right? Basing on those lineups. But still, you fight for that one VP that may be in your favor in the general competition. This is really brilliant. I mean, I think it's a very good idea.
I mean, an important point also is you don't have to win VPs. You just have to make them not win. Good.
Yeah, deny them just as good.
Deny them points, yes. Yep. But I mean, just for 1 point for next year, isn't it easy just to have 5 in every team? And then I'm still also missing the point that either if you're a red or a blue player advantage. Because that's what I'm missing. AMG rules are kind of iffy in those also. But I mean, there are pairing systems in Warhammer, for instance, that has done these team concepts for a while.
Yeah.
And some teams get some advantages, but that's just based on luck. So they get either advantages being a red or a blue player, and then they get the first pick, but then there are uneven teams or different ones. It's like you pick one team and then you pick two teams. And
I think that's the problem, that it's even team size. I think when I've looked at other game systems, most team tournaments tend to be 3 or 5. They tend to keep it odd, because then that way you don't ever end up with a draw. And it also then leads into, as you say, like one, you get to do one pairing, your opponent does two pairings, you get to do the last two.
And in Warhammer also pairing, in team events and I've been to, those maps has been individuals. Then you actually get to choose which map you have for wish list also. And that's one more.
That's what Yavin Base did. I did a lot more complexity, which I think is fine, especially if you if I do the pairings, then you got to pick which map we're playing on. So it was a double-edged sword. It's like, yes, I can put my anti-armor against your full armor, but then they're going to be like, well, all right, let's just give him like this high dense table, which has got, it's going to make it difficult for them to get the shots, exactly, kind of thing. I think that's fine. I guess it's another thing we can look at, but I won't lie. The copy and paste of tables is a very Dave Nolan introduction. It's what he does for Bolt Action. It's what he does for the Middle Earth, and it's what he does for Star Wars Legion. It seems to work. It's a pros and cons to it, and you lead into it. I don't think it's a bad thing. It's just a different thing. But one thing I was going to ask is, you can choose to plead the fifth because you don't want to give away your plans. But do you think that if you are running Empire, that you are running at a disadvantage because of the current state of Empire?
I'm putting my no in that one.
Wait for the Swedes to talk to first.
I'm putting a no in it, and I'll tell you why in a minute.
Let's just say, if I play Empire and Cockles is on the other side of the table, I would say no.
I mean, you can play anything, right?
But to be honest, I mean, I think to be successful in Legion, you need a list that you have been thought through, and you can make something good with the list. And then you need to play it often, often, often. And I think you can win with every list you have, to be honest. There aren't bad lists. There are bad players, like me.
Love
no, but I mean, there are bad decisions. I mean, often for instance, I lose with the big decisions. It's like, okay, we have this mission. That was bad for me against this list. Or maybe this mission, and I split my army like this. That was a bad decision because I had to have more activations over here. Yeah. That's not dependent on which faction I have. That's actually more a deeper thought in the list.
So no,
I would say no, but I think there's a preference that to not play Empire because they're not successful. And mm-hmm. probably people doesn't have their has played lists very long nowadays. So that's a disadvantage.
Yeah.
But still a no, I would say.
Okay.
I'm going with no, and my reason is because the Empire, because you're playing your, if you're in control of your Empire list and you're in control of who you're going against, there are certain things in the Empire's toolbox that do well into certain other things. First off, it's called Darth Vader. and the other one's called Ions. And they're the two things that if you have someone in your team who has a list that has lots of ions, or some ions or whatever, or some form of control there, then you're looking to pair into the vehicle meta or the droids. Obviously you've got like Dave's list with his probably Vader. I don't know. Just take guessing. You've got, okay, you want to put your Vader into something that's going to, well, you just not do well against Vader, basically. I'm trying to sum it up. I was trying to think of something clever. But you know what I mean? The Empire has enough in its toolbox to deal with other factions if it gets to choose against who's it's playing. And that's down to your captain choosing it, being able to choose that.
Yeah, I think it has more to do with archetypes. And yes, probably Empire has a specific type of archetypes if you discuss it. But has the archetype a weakness? Yes. Does it have a disadvantage as a faction? No, I would say.
I think it would be a lot about whether you control or not control the Empire list, if it's on a table in general, right? Because if you decide to control it for some reason, you know, review of the list of your opponent team you're going to face in a moment. So my personal experience in playing against Empire, which is considered weaker now than it used to be, is mm-hmm. that it's highly contextual. So it perfectly counters a very specific type of list. So, I played with Michał, the guy who's behind the Galaxy on Fire. He's like a Empire player, loyal Empire player, never changes. He sticks to the Empire. And I played with him against him. And I really thought I have a spot on winning that match, but like he perfectly countered my list with suppressions. So, Krennic, Darth Vader, and I could do nothing. I mean, I was suppressed. My list was somehow vulnerable to being suppressed, and he won that game easily. So I think we may see over the weekend a very surprising wins by Empire list if they perfectly match the opponent. So I don't think it's a liability. I mean, it would be very interesting at the end to know. I mean, we will know that out of Longshanks. It would be very interesting to have a statistics which lists were fakes. Like we are watching the list, we are reviewing them. The episode with Kokozula was very good because I mean, very long, but it introduced basically everyone to what may happen on the table, who you're going to meet. And of course, we are reviewing the list 1 hour around. We have a chat that we write rubbish and like they discuss the possible opponents. But I know that some teams they are making also some kind of Longshanks intel. Right, so in the Longshanks, you can view an account of a player which tournaments he or she participated in the past, and you can watch the list. Right.
Yep.
So we did that on Sweden on Sweden 1. and we realized in a recent year each member of the team has played basically every faction, so like our intel was crap, so we know nothing. it's fun because you still have a lot of fun before the tournament starts, and I think this is really lovely. I mean, for the last couple of weeks we've been discussing nothing else than those lists. And when they finally landed on Dropbox, it's like we all the time send each other, look on this. Well, it's fake. No, it's not fake. So, you know, I think it's the conversation before the tournament. So I'm really extremely curious in some cases of the teams, which lists are fake.
There are a few which are like that, where you're like, you have no idea. Like, all of them are really exciting, really interesting. And you're like, I really hope this is not the fake one because it's so out there and so different. And then there's other ones where you're just like, yeah, it's obviously these four and the fifth one they couldn't be asked with.
I feel like that means if you've done any research on any particular of the England teams, you're probably going to know what they're playing. It's just like, oh, look, I wonder what Lila's playing. I wonder what Jeff or Cockles or Kev are playing, all this sort of stuff.
No, it's a different case, right? Because the team you mentioned, as Patrick said at the beginning, like you're globally recognized, right? Because like of the number of tournaments, because of the power of, let's say, the community in the UK. So you can more or less, you know who plays what. But then when you face Sweden, the people you've never met before, like, and never heard of before, just like they probably didn't heard about Polish people. So then it's really like an element of surprise and the case was going on. Oh, guys, all right, so let's gamble. So how do you think, which faction will be most frequently dropped as a fake list? In the scale of the whole tournament, we have like, what, 28 teams, right? Mm-hmm. So which faction will be the most mostly dropped as a fake list?
For me,
that's a good question.
I reckon I'm gonna stick my neck out. I feel like it'll probably be the Shadow Collective lists. I genuinely feel it'll be the Shadow Collective lists.
Still more empires on the table than Shadow Collective, in your opinion, right?
I think so. And the only I mean I'm putting out there as a guess. I'm not saying I have no idea. I'm just putting it as a complete disclaimer. Andy hasn't revealed anything to me, and I've not discussed it with him. This is my own takes.
We're going to complain anyway.
It's fine to complain. I think it'll be the Shadow Collective. And my reasons why is because of the recent tweaks to Empire, and because it's got less of a. If you're taking Shadow Collective, you're probably taking one of two variants, which is the Fury Road or the Quando list. Probably. I don't know. I could be wrong. I'm just taking a guess. So I feel like there's more variation you can put in your main faction lists to be able to skew. You were saying that, Patrick, you were saying about skewing, to be able to counter other things. That's just my observation. I could be wrong. I haven't completely done a dive into it.
I share your opinion, Cockles, but I think this is it. I'm not a good player. I'm a statistical player. Based on Longshanks games that are registered through all the factions, Shadow Collective is the least one.
There you go.
And in Sweden, we only have like, I don't know, maybe 2 to 3 active players. If we think Poland, then maybe you are 3.6 times bigger than us. So I guess you have a handful of Shadow Collective players on your 40 to 70 people events. So I think it's just less players in Shadow Collective. The problem is that they're those few players, they are really good. But I still think it's Shadow Collective that's dropping.
Andy, what's your opinion?
He can't offer an opinion, can he?
No, I can. Technically, I don't have the stats technically because I haven't locked the lists in yet. So people can still flick between Shadow Collective, Empire, or like Clones, whichever ones you're taking or not taking. And that's this weekend's, well, the next day or two's job is to lock it and make, and then cross check that what you submitted is what you submitted. So that's a fun thing to me. I think Empire might be dropped the most. I do think, like, I agree with what Patrick's saying. Like, you tend to have a very small pool of people who do play Shadow Collective. But I do think they are stronger than Empire at the moment. And I don't think they're as restricted as you think, Cockles. Going through them lists was a lot of difference in Shadow Collective. Yes, there was, this is just a Fury Road list. They've taken 3 sweeps, 2 buses, and then some random core. Yes, there's quad mandos, but there was quad mandos with more, there was ones without. There was even a bounty hunter version. There's like 6 pike version. There's 6 black suns. There was the 17 activation version, you know.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
I mean, you heard the pod.
did you not go and listen? Yeah.
I might have not got up to that far yet.
it's quite long. One of the USA teams, I think it was USA 1, submitted the 17 act.
I'm so looking for this now, just to say.
Yeah, Shadow Collective. It's basically like every act, every possible thing taken is taken.
Shadow like
six core, four special forces, oh, two buses.
Here we go. I'll read it out. Don't worry, I've got it because it's cool. 17 activations, just whatever you see in more than like, yeah, okay, right. So double A5s, nothing in. Two pikes with vigilance, two capos with vigilance, two other capos with lead by example, and six capos. No, one, yep. Two, three,
four.
Four capos. Bloody hell, there's my brain going to say the two are there. Yeah, so one with lead by example, one with improvised, two with vigilance, five naked pikes, three swoops, three naked super commandos. I mean, yeah. Not being funny, that's so...
17?
That's division? 17. Yeah, so 2, 4, 5, 6, 11, plus 6, 17.
Spam list.
That's... But the thing is, Andy, I know you're saying about like that. I would look at that and think that's not being played because of the lack of... I just think the lack of heavies just make it look like it's not going to be played. And then,
okay, so my counter to you, not dive too much into the list side of things, but... If you then look at the 16 act I took for and went 2-1 with to a tournament, and then you look at like the 18 act rebel versions that did well at Worlds on day two, because I think one of them lost to Isaiah and then another one lost to someone else as well. The high activation does have an advantage, and it's not I'm just going to burn down the timer and like win by I've just got too many activations. It's survivability for your bad batch. It's 180 points or whatever it is that these days it costs. You get to shoot one unit. Yes, you can split fire a little bit, but the split fire of bad batch isn't enough to kill two squads. It can finish off two squads, but it can't kill two squads in one go. So its first activation, if it's shooting on turn one, is to kill a rebel unit. Cool, you've killed 40 points. You know, like that's the whole logic of these like high activation lists. That they're there to make it so they survive and hide while scoring, and then there's too many left that you can't kill them.
All right, I'll put a quantifier into it then. I think that list is the fake because I've just quickly glanced at the other ones.
Uh huh.
And
one of them's 18 activations.
Yeah. Layer, wicket, gin, vets, 4x4, mark two, and then blasters. Six mark two blasters out of four.
Because he's got six.
Oh, he's got two more. Oh, he's got six vets, yeah. Two more down there, sorry, hiding.
But you look at both of them lists, the idea is like the vets have low profile and they have prepared positions on turn one, so that it's annoying to kill them.
No, 100%.
And then if you look at the pike version, danger sense and independent dodge is 10. It might even be better than the low profile on the veterans because you get the independent dodge every turn and the danger sense kind of helps trigger things along. Plus there's the capos to aid. Yep. So they've got an extra dodge available potentially. So like if that list is not used at the weekend, I'm counting my models and seeing if I can run it. I like the idea of it. And I've been speaking to a few players about that list. And I do think there's a few like that that have been submitted that I really do hope they are the real ones.
I mean, going through the list on Dropbox may be tricky. There's a lot of them and some of them very different. And when I was analyzing like country by country for like 45 minutes and I'm watching and I'm going through this, said, what kind of bullshit is that? Oh, it's one of ours.
Amazing.
You know, it's like with you know the King Julian from Madagascar who speak all that bullshit. Oh, it's me.
go on, Patrick.
What do you think, Severin? Which team will be dropped?
I think it will be Shadow Collective. I think it will be Shadow Collective. I mean, I haven't analyzed all of them, of course. I mean, besides watching a splendid episode of Andy and Kokozula, but as far as I've went through all the lists, so I think they look. I mean, this is what Kokos probably said a moment ago. The other lists look very solid. Right? So I can think about, you know, dropping a very solid list of playable faction and sticking to like a funny to watch and maybe funny to play but not Not going to win anything significant to the Shadow Collectivists, but I may be wrong. I'm very curious how many factions will be dropped among those main ones. So how many teams, after all, you're going to have without Republic or without... Is there going to be any team without Separatists? I don't think so. I think they will be present in every single team. A team 100%. Without the Republic?
That's
maybe
a team without the Republic is more likely than a team without Rebels and Droids. I think in the list, the most likely not to get dropped is Shadow Collective, followed by Empire, followed by Republic, followed by
Rebels.
Rebels and Droids probably won't at all, but I mean, if I have to pick the two, it's probably Rebels and Droids. That order is how I would imagine is the most dropped, so. I think.
Yeah,
profound.
profound for us. So my next question is for both of you, because I think I know the answer for behind the scenes, but Cockles can answer it for everyone else to see as well.
I'll go last. Okay.
Yeah. So Patrick, how did Sweden go about picking its players? Was there a process involved? Was it just who could go, when, or was there like a qualification? Or,
well, it was the one that the prettiest, the strongest. So that's why I'm first, to be honest. The most attractive and most Viking-like, as you see.
So that was one team of just you then?
Yes. And that shows everyone else.
So everyone has to have one aspect of you, so being strong, pretty.
Probably, or just weaker than me. That's how I choose them. No, we had we have four or five events during the year and accumulated points, and the one with the highest points got an invite. Do you want to travel the world? And if they said yes or no, and it's the top 12 players, easily as that.
Nice. So did you start that from... when World Team Championships was announced, or did you do that at the end of last year? Like, so you knew straight away that you was going to get the ball rolling for next year qualifying.
Yeah, we kind of chose as a community, so all the tournament organizer went together and it's like, how are we doing this?
Yeah,
and we actually classified as like, if we had, I don't remember the actual rules, but it was, if it's 10 players, you get 10 points if you win this event, and if you are 15, you get 12 points, and then it's like. Okay. Depending on which position you have in the tournament, you get different points and accumulated points. The highest wins, easily as that. So then you had to attend pretty many events, to be honest, since our community is pretty small.
Right. That's fair. Severin, how did Poland pick their players then? Because I know it's quite late in the game.
Yeah, I was really surprised because I expected much more tension about selecting the team. But still, traveling for basically a weekend plus. So you need to go on Friday, you get back on Monday. So it's like a logistic issue, I think, for many people. Financial issue, maybe some as well to some extent, right? I think the location, it's not like obvious for the Polish people, right? So Sheffield is not London or even Manchester, like you have direct flights and stuff like that. We didn't really have a problem with selecting the team. So basically, it started all with Oscar, who's like a great player, world's level player. So Oscar basically shared the news and asked a question, who would like to join? Like, we are trying to make a team. And at the very beginning, it seemed that's going to be only one team. Because there were like five people really interested, but then some people joined the idea. One person resigned; it was replaced. That's how we made that team. But it was effortless. I mean, we didn't have any debate, we didn't have any qualification, we didn't have any kind of brawl over that, which I expected that might have happened, but nothing like that occurred. So we took the volunteers and we formed the two teams and. Up we go to kick your asses, but basically that's all.
So I just have to ask, so you did not send your best players, or no?
We have, as I said, split. We have split the teams between the handsome and the clever. So I can be in both teams. So I have to decide. No. I mean, team one is really good. I think it's four guys out of top five, top six in Poland. Like we have quite a big community, right? So I would say you can easily point who is in top 10, right? Like there's Don Tepe is non-arguable, right? So all of them, I think all of them are in top five. So the team Poland one is really a strong, a very, very strong team. I think Poland's finest. We're in that team.
I mean, I expect as much. I mean, you are great players. It's just interesting to see that you did not have to do a ranking system as we did.
No. I mean, it wasn't that sophisticated because there was truly no argument about that. Nobody was left behind, right? So all of those who wanted to participate, they have an opportunity to participate. And well, to be completely honest, I definitely do not consider myself as a player of the world's level, right? So it's like a fun, a journey, an experience, a nice time I'm going to have with my team, with my son. I don't expect we're going to win anything significant. We're just going to have a good fun and, take part in a nice event with nice people. That's all.
We've come to the event.
To be honest, we want dice and promos, right? That's why we're traveling, right?
Yes, that's very true. AMG have decided to send out a prize pack.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
I missed that bit of information.
Bunch of dice and commando promo cards, I believe. And then last year's dice.
Oh, okay. That's not broad. Yeah.
Just in case that matters to anyone, but
I mean, it's an added bonus. Severin, what rank do you have in Poland? Are you top five or what are you?
You mean me?
Yeah.
No. I mean, I'm pretty high in the National League, but it's because when you finally you can get points that will matter in that league from your top six tournaments, right? So I've already played six main tournaments, right? So people who are below me, they have already played four or five, so they didn't fill the cup yet. So I'm second or third right now, but I don't consider myself a player in top 10. So no. Maybe top 20, maybe top 30, but I'm not high. We have really a very strong community, and I would say we have a couple of players who are really very good. They never or almost never attend international tournaments. So like they only play locally. So we could combine, I would say, two teams better than the actual Poland 2 team. But for some reason, as I said, logistics, other plans, finances, they did not decide to participate. I think the team format, it's completely unknown in Poland. I mean, we do not do that. We do not play any kind yet. We haven't played yet any kind of team tournament. So when there was the old system qualification for the Worlds, right? So you needed to win the store championship. The tension was high. I mean, the tension was high. And as the season was heading to an end, people who did not have their invitations, they were really, taking every possible tournament to win that qualification. I do not speak negatively about that. They wanted to go there, so at the very last stage, let's say of the qualification phase, you had a very strong tournament because there were like five, six people wanted to go to the Worlds. So individual Worlds, they had like higher reputation, let's say, in terms of your ranking being improved or being there, right? I think it's a matter of getting used to the format, and I think if the event will go smoothly and we'll get back with great memories and experience, which I'm truly convinced it will happen. So it probably encourage people to play that format in Poland.
Yep. Cool.
I want to say that the English way of picking people was based on rankings and ability and sheer brilliance. But that would be a lie for all but one of the teams. So obviously you've got, so basically if you're interested in playing World Team Championships and representing the UK, you're quite lucky because England. You can represent, you're quite, if you live in the UK, you can represent Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland or England. So you kind of can choose. And I lucked into helping out the Welsh team last year, which was great fun. But I'm representing the half of who might have half of myself this year. Next year, maybe it'd be Scotland because I'm half. But Dave Grant was in charge of it, and people messaged him. He then divided it up, and he picked a South captain. He picked the other captains and went from there. He's obviously skipper for the team number one. I'm not going to call them All Stars because they might jinx them. Actually, sorry, I'm going to call them All Stars because it will jinx them. So yeah, then you went to that, and then you went into your little pot. So I went into the south because I live in the south of England, and Kev asked a few questions. Said, "How many tournaments do you play? How often do you play? What do you do? That sort of thing." And I think maybe less on merit, more on reputation. I maybe got into my team, but I don't know. I could be wrong. I'm not a bad player. I'm a all right player. There you go. And I'm just trying to find where I am in the UK rankings, just to prove how many other people could have got in ahead of me.
Keep scrolling, boy. Keep scrolling.
I'm 44th in the UK, but they're based on the Longshanks rankings. But that doesn't mean I'm 44th best player, because I'm like I said, I'm a 66er. I'm 66%. I always go 2-1 generally.
I'm so disappointed. I was hoping you were saying we had a karaoke contest and the winner was.
I would have won, and there's no doubt about that. And Ollie,
there are a few people that can sing.
There are. To be fair, like I'd be doing Ollie a disservice by saying that as well. But like Ollie can, and I've heard Chris Wobble, and I've heard various others as well. But so yeah, no, that's my jam. But. Yeah, no, I got in because I'm not a bad player. I got in because I did all right, and I got in, and I'm fine, and that's all that needs to be said.
I mean, I'm going to put it out there. I'm just going to say, I'm just having a look at rankings since you're all talking about it. So, according to Longshanks, the highest ranking player in attendance at the tournament is Antoine with 731. Longshanks rank. Don't know how it's calculated these days. No one really knows. It's a number. It goes up or it goes down. No one knows. But Anton is number one on the rankings. You scroll down, and to drop past 500, I have to get to 500 on the dot. Player 73, Jonas Hammerberg from Sweden, team two.
Yep.
So that's... Because I think anything above 500, I would say, is a very good player. Like, you go to a lot of tournaments, you're consistent, and that's my general feeling when I see other people's rankings. So that's 73 top players. And then, like, the next bunch of players are still, like 497, like 400. So, like...
I think I'm below 500.
So below 400, I have to go to player 92 out of 112. So, like, that's still amazing. Like, we have got five players without ranks. And then the lowest rank is 109, which is Anders from Denmark. But I guarantee you that is not a slight on his ability or how he's going to play. Like, Richard Rasmussen, Rasmussen, like, he is a good player, but he's only got a rank of 112. So, like, I don't think the numbers tally up to who's in attendance for sure. But it's an interesting one, like, to have a look at that.
I need to clip. You said they're all very good players if they're above 500. It's just for my own message tone, so I hear that every day. Because I'm above 500, so I need to have that there. Andy's paid me two compliments in 2 weeks now. In the space of a week, I'm like living on that now. But no, jokes aside, it's going to be fun.
There's loads of people in there that I wouldn't say that to their face. Goddamn Gwaine.
I think all of the outside of the team tryhard for England, all of the rest of the UK players are there. I think we're all represented to look at, have a bit of have fun and win what we can and have fun while we're playing at the same time. And I know that's definitely the same for myself, Chris, Kev, etc. For our team, I know that for sure. Representing the South. But yeah, that's how I was chosen.
Just the worst of the best then, right?
The one who is most committed and who could lend other people models, Chris. So yeah, I think it's probably how I got in, by saying, oh, I can lend you models. And that's how it works.
Cool. Nah, I think I've run out of questions.
Oh, how did you end up? How did you end up hosting it, Andy?
I can blame Justin on this.
Okay, yep.
And there's a lot to blame it on Justin. I was at what's his event? It's the Wookiee, Let the Wookiee Win, up at Element Games. It was being hosted there. And he goes, oh, I need to introduce you to someone. He's doing a tournament. It's like an international thing. I'm busy. I know the bloke. I can't get involved. We've got too much on at home and stuff. I was like, all right, yeah, chuck him my way. Thinking it'd just be someone trying to break into the international scene of trying to get players. Like, there's always talks of it. Even on mainland Europe, you hear like someone like Finn trying to do it. And you're like, there's always the issue of trying to get the other countries involved. I guess it's trying to get them interested. It's hard, I think, to convince people to travel and spend money sometimes, depending on the economy and stuff. Apparently it wasn't, but that's a different you're all a lot easier to convince than I thought. And me and him got paired on, me and Dave Nolan got paired onto the most open table, and I whinged about it. Justin, because I was playing Dooku Invasion Force, and there was one line of sight blocker on the versus Blizzard Force with double ATST. And there was one line of sight blocker, and it was in his deployment zone, and I was just like, cool, we'll play this out. And then I conceded as soon as my tank died, because I was using that as a line of sight blocking, and was playing Breakthrough. I was just like, yeah, I concede now. It was like, oh, by the way, I'm the guy that Justin needs to introduce you to. I was like, oh, great. So you're now gonna talk to me after just making me... I conceded within like 40 minutes, I think. We played out turn one, and the tank died turn two. and then we got talking, and he convinced me, basically. He was like, oh, yeah, there's like, I do it for... bolt action, I do it for Middle Earth. I want to do it for Legion. I was like, okay, let's see what we're doing. Like, and he convinced me that obviously the first year will be Spain. I was like, okay, well, I'll see what I can do. And I managed to drum up on our first year 16 teams. And then this year I've drummed up 28, and he set me a target. He was like, oh yeah, next year, our next venue, I can have, so next year will be all three game systems at the same time again. But it can hold, we can have 60 teams per a game system. And I was like, okay, you've set me a challenge. So, and he was like, if you do that, you'll kill me. I'm just making terrain. I will cry. And I was like, cool, that is a challenge.
Challenge accepted.
So I am putting it out there to the Legion community. I want to break Dave Nolan.
Battle gamers.
Yeah, battle gamers. I'm sure he'll be a very happy man if we did turn up with 60 Legion teams. He'd also be crying, and he might get divorced, but that's not my problem.
Very, very fair.
No, I love the bloke. He's very crazy, very Irish. I think they go hand in hand. But his motto, and that's why I rejected him from the podcast, is it's about the communities. He says it with Middle Earth, like Scotland never used to have a Middle Earth scene, and now they run a tournament like every 4 weeks. It's the same for Legion. Like, obviously, probably never would have met you, Patrick, unfortunately, like, or spoken to you maybe outside of World Team Championships, because I think that's the only time we kind of bump into each other. And there's probably other people who fall into that category. It's like, you get to travel a little bit, but like, you don't want to go to Worlds or can't, because like, the cost is different, or don't want to, and both are valid. But World Team Championships, it's fun, but also competitive. It's got like a double element to it, where Worlds is just pure, it's competitive. It's but yeah, I think there's Dave Nolan's got a good philosophy for it, and I was behind it, and it's kind of what I lent into. Like, obviously, getting people to play more Legion, it sounded like a good idea. So here we are, 2 years later, and we've already planned the third year, as I say, and there's a fourth year lined up as well. So keep coming, guys, keep coming.
And on that note, I think we'll wrap up. We'll start to begin to wrap up the show. I've got a couple of little announcements. So I had an email in. I said I'd read it out. So the first one is, some fan mail. No, not quite. Hi, Cockles. I hope this message finds you well. My name is Scott, and we met at Adepticon last year. I'm organizing a Star Wars Legion tournament taking place during RageCon 2025. First off, RageCon, great name for a convention. RageCon in Reno, Nevada. this coming June 28th and 29th. I'm reaching out to request your support, blah, 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 and that sort of thing. So, yes, here is his shout out. So if you're in and looking for an event to go to RageCon in Reno, Nevada, towards the end of June. The event is free for players to enter, aside from the convention badge, and is focused on building the community, introducing new players to the game, and celebrating our shared love of tabletop war games. We've got space for 32, room for more if needed, and spectators allowed, etc. So if you're in, if you're over that way, RageCon 2025, go for it. So that's the first one, and I feel like I had another one locked in my pocket, but I'm sure there's a bloke on this podcast who does an event. I can't quite place who it is. Andy, do you know who it is?
No idea, man.
Okay. Have you heard about this event run by some dog eater called Chopper Base Open? That'll do instead.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be plugging it next week because I want more international players. So I want, you need to get the war drum going, Severin. I want more Polish again. It was amazing having you guys help. Help and play, actually. I shouldn't just say I want you to help out.
It's hiring. Don't worry, though.
You subcontract.
That's what we do.
TO responsibilities to the Poles.
Yeah, man, I mean, you guys worked hard. And then you smashed out them, putting them tables out very quickly for me. It was a big lifesaver. But yeah, obviously, Chopper Base Open. We've got two sponsorships coming up to announce, actually. We had one confirmed this week. And we've got, I think we're nearly at 96. I think we're like 92 tickets sold or something like that, which will then equal last year. And obviously that then means we've got the extra space that we've pumped up for 128 players. Mm. So if you are free on the 16th and 17th of August, then please come along to Chopper Base. Yes, it is an official grand tournament, but that is not going to take away from things like having the bounty board where, as I say, you get tables, you blank out on a rally roll. I'm trying to think of the previous ones we've had.
Beat Ollie or me or Jack or Tom.
Yeah, there'd be beat anyone from the podcast. There'd be a promo prize, which really costs me a lot. When it's beat Cockles. Oh, well, that's easy.
That's three times. Come on.
And then, like, if a unit gets one-shotted, like, all of these things are just little prizes you get throughout the event. And that's just for playing the games. And then, obviously, there's prizes, best in faction if you're trying to go for the top stuff. And if you're playing for the bottom stuff, did you win? Most unpainted army.
Most unpainted army. This is yeah. Me, of course. I was running the 7 activation list, and I thought it's not too much. And now I see 6 activation lists for the.
You got to lose one then.
yes, most unpainted army is me.
Yeah, so we obviously give prizes out as much as we can for everyone. I think, and you're someone best sportsman.
Yes, Franek was the best. Yeah, sportsman. Yeah, extremely proud of that.
And well deserved as well. Everyone said he had an amazing time playing him. But they're the kind of things, obviously, we give out prizes for. They're the ones that we tend not to give announcements about, apart from obviously the cards are manufactured and made by Doble. But like the other ones, we kind of source ourselves, but we are part of the things that we get for giving out. So just turn up and play. But yeah, please buy tickets if you want. There is also the week after WTC. So WTC is this weekend, the 24th and 25th. If you are in the UK, so if you're staying over for longer, or if you are just someone who lives in the UK, come to Games Expo on the 31st and the 1st of June for the 2-day event for the first grand tournament of this season.
Nice. I suppose there's only one question remaining in relation to WTC. Mm-hmm. And ask each one of you, Patrick, what's your karaoke song that you'd be singing, mate, on the social evening?
The winner takes it all.
Maybe. Yeah,
love it.
Severin, same question.
Yeah, in UK you don't let children go into the pub, so I think I will have to take care of Phonic. So I luckily for you, I will not attend that contest most probably.
No, but so that means
the quiz.
Oh yeah.
I mean, what? I love to drink and sing, but from it probably we will not be allowed to enter the pub, right? So we're going to spend the evening elsewhere.
I mean, there's two socials obviously being organised. I might as well pull it out there quickly. So obviously we've got the karaoke. As you say, obviously there will be drinking. But the for the people who are inclined on not wanting to sing or not to have lots of drinks, because there will be many flowing, because it is also...
I feel like Mateus would be on that one.
It's Nav's birthday, I believe, on Saturday. And it's Major's birthday, which is Dave Grant's daughter, on the Friday.
She's 18.
She's 18, so legal drinking age in the UK. So two reasons to get drunk at the weekend. So for the less inclined or the ones who don't want to have a hangover on the Sunday and still win games, there is a quiz being ran by Dave Nolan at the venue. And it is a Star Wars themed quiz with prizes and stuff. So obviously that's something.
But if I were there, take me home, country roads.
Oh,
good choice.
That would
nice.
Be my song.
Very nice. Andy, I suppose for yourself.
I like a bit of a Limp Bizkit. Got to keep rolling or break stuff, that kind of. Or Linkin Park, I think I might do, because Tom's come in and Tom likes Limp Bizkit.
Likes to break stuff.
Yeah, so I think I might have to settle on Linkin Park in the end.
Nice. Surprise for what I do. Who knows what I do? Or who knows what happens? But there we go. Guys, I think that's the show wrapped up. So what we're going to do is, so Andy, if people want to get hold of you, how can they do so?
Grab me on Discord, AJST, or you can find me on Facebook.
Wonderful.
Or an email address of andy@thatsmymoonpodcast.com. I do check it when we record.
Every now and again. Patrick, if people want to contact you or you want to shout out, tell people how to find you. Now is your time.
Well, I guess you can find me on Discord at the... Legion server. My name is SSZON, really strange name. But we also have a webpage in Swedish, so Legion Sverige, Legion Sverige. I need to say this in Swedish. There we publish all events in Sweden, from Sundsvall to Skåne. Maybe it says nothing to you, but for the Swedish people, I mean. And in Stockholm, we have weekly events every Monday at 1800 at Alfa Spel. It's a local hobby store. And in Gothenburg, we have also games at Ylva, Spelföreningen, Konfliktspelföreningen, på onsdagar och söndagar och lite sånt. Häng gärna med, prata med Discorden som vi också har, som finns publicerad på Legion Sverige.
So, that's why you're saying, not me.
Yeah. And I just want to say hi to the whole community in Sweden. We are the best. We will take this home.
How do you say hello Sweden in Swedish, please?
how do you say hello in Sweden?
Yeah.
Hey, Sverige.
Hey, Sverige. That's what I say. There you go. Try that one. Severin, same question to yourself. If people want to contact you and or chat on Polish stuff, how do they randomly do that?
The easiest way is Facebook. I mean, I'm under my name and surname on Facebook, and I'm active. I'm a member of those groups on Legion. You can contact me on Messenger, probably the quickest way.
Nice. And how do you say hello, Poland?
Witaj Polsko.
Witaj Polsko. There you go.
Very good. Very good. Very nice accent.
All right, I can learn different. That's
we're going to work on that on Saturday. We're going to work on that.
Oh, there's a certain Polish word I know that begins with K that I've heard far too many times in my life. But there we go.
Parental control. Parental control.
There we go. I've been Cockles. If you want to find me, Cockles Faulkner at Discord, cockles@thatsmymoonpodcast.com. I'm really looking forward to the weekend. I look forward to seeing all the teams from all the nations. I'm just looking forward to it in general. Last shout out. Don't forget, check the links in the show description. Where we have Patrick's stuff on there. We'll also have Paul's raffle on there as well. So please, if you're willing, if you're able to, go on there, have a look, check it out. And this has been That's No Moon. Thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.
You've been listening to That's No Moon, a Star Wars Legion podcast. To keep up to date with us, please like and follow us on Facebook, That's No Moon, a Star Wars Legion podcast, and Instagram, That's No Moon Podcast.